anything else. Okay.
Isn't that enough?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when do we get the finals?
The state, I believe, will, well, I don't know if the accountability is going to be as delayed as the other. I would expect it at the end of September, the earliest.
Okay. Yeah, so don't do it on all
Well, you know, I'm really okay doing it because key data estimates over the years have become more and more and more accurate. I think last year, maybe at two schools, we were up one or down percentage point. So I think it'll be very close.
Okay. It'll take us, it won't be your next meeting, but we will bring
it. Good question.
Thank you for the presentation.
Sure.
Can we get a call right now? That's how Mike get up and got jealous.
I know
you're falling asleep too.
I just got a tale in here. She said that there was a
broken pipe,
and the timer for the sprinkler that they had gotten wasn't working right, so there was kind of a combination of both, and it wasn't being watered.
I don't know why would they have put the fence up and planted the seed when they knew there wasn't water? Or somebody, I mean, there's some got to be some continuity between the people that are going to be putting a fence up, planting seed, and then the other hand that says, I'm going to turn on the water now. I mean, that's what I do. When I plant seed, I turn on the water and make sure it's watered. My sprinklers are all broken.
What are you supposed to do when you plant?
Okay, we're going to go ahead and call this back to order. And I will turn it over. We're on item number 25, 2011-2012, unaudited actual financial report. I'll turn this over to Ms. Kaplan.
Okay. Well, I'm going to actually turn this over to Dr. Coughlin. This is his premiere. He's got three reports that he's going to do for you. And
ready to go? Well, good evening. We're here tonight to present the unaudited actuals for 2011-12. This is where books are closed, and we know exactly how we finished last year. You know, through much of the year, we're always trying to predict the revenue that's coming in. We're trying to predict the expenditures. Well, now we can say this is where we ended up with 2011-2012. Let's go a little overview of what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the board's responsibilities and also the financial reporting sequence. For the year, I'm going to show you a little bit of a history of the revenue for the district. That was interesting to me to see where we've been over the last 5 years. Talk about the 2011-12 revenue, what we estimated in June to what we actually received, and then want to look at expenditures. What's been the history of expenditures in this district? Then drill down, look at the expenditures. What did we say? Where did we say we were going to end up, and what did we actually end up with? Also want to look at our ending balance. Where did we say we were going to end up with an ending balance, and what did we actually end up with as an ending balance? What are the components of the ending balance? It's also important to look at the other funds. We're going to spend a lot of time on Fund 1, the general fund, but there are other funds in the district that we want to report on. And then after that, if there are any comments or questions, we'd be happy to answer those. So first off, the board's responsibility, they're required by law to close the books for the 2011-12 fiscal year by September 15th. We submit these financial statement to the Los Angeles County Department of Education, LACO. All of you should have received this. You received several documents over the weekend. The first one was the big document. There were also some additional things I included in your packet. We broke out the unrestricted and the restricted changes by object. And then this presentation that we have tonight. After the Los Angeles County Office of Ed reviews it, they will forward that to the state. This is our financial reporting sequence for the year. I always put this slide up just so we know where we're at. Adopted the state budget was adopted in June. Board adopted their budget in June. Right now we're in September. We're doing the unaudited actuals for 11-12. After this presentation, we're going to talk about budget revisions. So we're going to revise the budget that you adopted in June. We'll come back in December and present the first interim report. First interim goes from the beginning of the school year through October 31st, where we report on revenue and expenditures during that time period. Before that period, that reporting, we should know the outcome of the election, which may have an impact on the first interim report. In January, the governor will come out with his 2013-14 budget proposal. We come back in March, present the second interim report, which is, talks about expenditures and revenue from the beginning of the school year through January 31st. And then we adopt our budget in June. State adopts theirs in June, and the whole cycle repeats itself all over again. Looking at the history of revenue in the district, very up and down. Back in 2008-09, the total revenue, and this is combined revenue, it's not unrestricted only, this is combined, unrestricted and restricted. 2008-09, the revenue was $78.2 million. The following year, it was 70.1. 2010-11, it was up to 77.7, and then back down 70.7. Very inconsistent. The fluctuations mainly due to federal ARRA funds that came in, federal jobs money that came in. When we look at the estimated revenue, in June we estimated the revenue to be $71.1 million. When we closed the books, the actual was 70.7. Revenue limit went up $400,000. Federal revenue was down $200,000. Other state revenue was up $600,000, and local revenue was down $1.2. Kind of breaking this apart for you, unrestricted revenue actually increased by $820,000, while restricted revenue decreased by $1.2. So that's your net increase of about $400,000. Some of the changes, MA revenue came in a little bit higher at $129,000. The ROCP apportionment was higher at $392,000. This is the change amount. This isn't the total amount. Interest was a little bit higher. Interest was a little bit lower. Interest is lower these days. ERAF came up higher. CSR was lower. And some miscellaneous unrestricted revenue was a little bit lower. On the restricted side, less revenue for special education excess cost transfers. Title I was lower. Special ed state mental health was higher, while miscellaneous restricted revenue was lower. All in all, a net of $400,000. Looking at expenditures, unlike the revenue, remember revenue was up and down like a roller coaster, which is what we've been on for these last 4 years, expenditures have been pretty constant. You can see 74.7, 74.9, 75.5, 74.5. Enrollment has been pretty stable. And so what has increased slightly, which is understandable, salaries and benefits increased just a little bit. Remember, every year, even though we don't receive a COLA and we don't give a COLA, we still have step and column increases, typically anywhere from 1.5% to 2%. So those salaries and benefits will go up. Books and supplies, much lower in 11-12 than 2010-11. Many of the school sites and the districts, we've really been much more conservative about spending the money, and so there was not as much spent in 2011-12. Same with services and outlay. Typically your utilities and your consultants, those were considerably less than the previous year, and other outgo was slightly higher. When we look at estimated expenditures versus actual, not uncommon to see certificated salaries and classified salaries and benefits to be slightly off. A couple $100,000, typically you do over budget a little bit. You have things, you have overtime, substitutes, vacation payouts. these types of things where you're not sure until the end, and so it's not unreasonable to see that. Materials and supplies were quite a difference there, $1.1 million less spent than was planned. Much of that is carryover at the school sites. Schools receive in their gift money and in their discretionary funds, and we have to budget all the way to the end that they may spend it. But as I said, many of the school sites and departments have really tightened their belts and are asking the questions, do we need to buy this now? Is it something that we can hold off on based on uncertainties that are coming up? Services and other operating expenses down $1.2 million. So overall, revenue increased slightly. Let me get to the next slide. Expenditures decreased by $2.8 million. When we look at expenditures, total unrestricted expenditures decreased by $1.4 million, and total restricted expenditures decreased by $1.3 million. And it breaks it down into different areas for the decreases. When we look at the ending balance, as I said, I said the revenue increased by $400,000. The net revenue decreased by $400,000. So in 2011-12, we estimated that we were going to end the year with $17.9 million. We actually ended the year with $20.3 million, an increase of $2.4 million. Half of that money is restricted. It's not all unrestricted. It's good news, but most of it is carryover. It's money that was not spent in 2011-12 that is carried over into the next year that can be used in 2012-13. When we look at that $20.3 million compared to the $17.9, we have some assigned, we've assigned part of that, the different parts of that ending balance. The retiree reserve is set at $1.02 million. State budget reserve was at 6.6. With the increase, bumped it to $7.9 million. Smarter balance assessment set aside $2 million. Common Core standards, $545,000. Deferred maintenance reserve, $1.7 million. Lottery prior year and lottery current year, you can see those amounts. And reserve for economic uncertainties, we're still required to maintain a 3% reserve. And there were some restricted funds that carried over, $877,000. So overall, the district's ending balance is $20.3 million. Quite a large reserve, but again, we need that reserve for the uncertainties that are coming up, the uncertainties with the election and the uncertainties with the budgets in the future. So not a bad place to be at this point. When we look at some of the other funds, we do have other funds. We have Fund 9, which is the charter school. They were estimated to have an ending balance of $301,000. They actually ended up with $64,000. It's not that they spent more. What's happening is, as at the beginning of this year they became independent, the district now is just serving as a pass-through for their revenue. And so we will see eventually no ending balance. All of it will be held at the charter school. The revenue will come in and the expenditures will be transferred out. The cafeteria fund was estimated to end with $3 million. It actually ended with $4.1 million. So there's a difference of $1 million. Special reserve fund, there's not much money in there, $10,000. The change is due to a rounding error of a dollar. It's not that we ended up with another dollar, it's a rounding. Fund 21 is the bond fund. We estimated we would end with $6.8 million, and we did. There still is some there's some funds remaining in that bond fund, $6.8 million. Capital facilities, which are mostly your developer fees, and any money that comes in with redevelopment, has an ending balance of $3,056,248. County facilities, which is your state, the state money that comes in, a lot of times they're state bonds, and that's used to match against your projects on your bond. There's really no money in there. Capital projects has an ending balance of $4 million. This is for projects over $5,000, typically vehicles, buses, major capital projects. The bond interest at $1.7 million, and the self-insurance fund, which is for post-employment retirement benefits, at $508,000. So that is a pretty fast overview of 2011-12 unaudited actuals. Before I take your questions, I do want to thank Manoj and his staff and everyone in fiscal and the other departments. While many people were off in July and August, they were here working, closing the books. And so now they get a little bit of a chance to breathe before first interim comes up soon. So with that, I'd like to take any of your questions that you may have.
On, just real quickly, you caught my ear on just the very end there, that Fund 67 self-insurance is for post-retirement benefits?
Correct.
And how is that different than the retiree benefits reserve as a subcategory of the general fund income?
It's, and Manoj, correct me if I'm wrong, it's also set aside, we have a liability that we have,
a liability
that we have for future employment benefits, and so that is going, the $500,000 is actually what we've put in, the $1 million is set aside to cover our future liability, so that's why that money is there. It's part of the ending balance. It's not actually in Fund 67. It's in Fund 1. You're talking about the million.
No, I'm talking Fund 67 self-insurance. You got $500,000.
Right. That is for post-employment benefits. What happens is we're able to charge some of the restricted programs for those benefits, a percentage. And so when we charge those programs, the money goes into Fund 67. It's to be used against future retiree benefits.
Okay, and then the retiree benefits reserve. So for, we're funding, what you're telling me is we've got set aside of $1.5 million, $500,000 restricted and $1 million unrestricted.
The $500,000 is in Fund 67. The other $1 million has been assigned in Fund 1 to be used for the future liability. Every year that liability grows. And so it's to be used to transfer in there into Fund 67 if needed. Am I explaining that right, Manoj?
Yeah, basically, we, in Fund 1, pretty much it's assigned. It's not a committed fund for the retiree benefits reserve. So in case of any deficits, we can pull out from that fund as opposed to Fund 67.
Once it goes into, once you charge the categorical and the restricted programs in Fund 67, if you take that money away, you then have to pay those programs back. And so we really don't want to touch the money in Fund 67.
Can you explain to me what the state budget reserve is exactly, or is this something that we've just sort of made up? Or is this an actual?
It's something that we've made up. What it is because you'll see in the next report, you've seen it's gone from $6 million to $7 million. In the next report, you'll see it down to $1 million and then up to $2 million. It's any excess money outside of those other areas that we've set aside, the 3% reserve, the smarter, the core. It's any excess money that we've set aside against uncertainties with the state budget. We know that there's a possibility that we've been told that if the election fails, schools could be cut up to $457 per student this year. That translates to about $4 million for us. So that's, we've kind of assigned that money, and that if that happens, that's where that money would come from. But you'll see that's where we ended in 2011-12. When I present the next presentation, you'll see because we're deficit spending, that number will be lower.
Okay, so all of these other ones are just sort of, there's nothing to it. I mean, there's not, we don't know what smarter balance, who came up with the smarter balance assessment of $2 million?
We put that in as a reserve because we know that there is going to be cost to implementing the core standards, and there's going to be cost to getting the any kind of computer equipment that we would need for the assessment. But the reality is, because we're deficit spending, it really is just a placeholder, because as we deficit spend, we take out of these.
So there's nothing in any of these.
If we were not deficit spending, this would be little savings accounts for these particular issues. But they're really a placeholder because we are deficit spending.
The only one that's really committed, that 3%, the 3% reserve. We need to have a 3% reserve.
So we have the deferred maintenance reserve, same thing. That's just a placeholder.
It's a placeholder. And some places have deferred maintenance in Fund 14. This is just, it's in Fund 1. It's its own ending balance.
And then I'd asked you earlier this evening about unaudited financial statements. On the balance sheet, that it's obvious that we've got $5 million. At the end of last year, we had 2012, $20 million in this fund, in the general fund, but all of that $22 million of that is in accounts receivable. I mean, that's basically our reserve. So that impacts severely our cash flow.
There's a difference between the ending fund balance and the cash balance, right? And so ending fund balance, $20 million, cash can be a lot less because much of it is deferred by the state.
And so I asked to get a detail of what that accounts receivable balance is and how old some of that is. Uh-huh. I don't know if school districts do that in that uh-huh. manner, but that's what I'm used to seeing. Uh-huh. Aged accounts receivables, a list of who we received it from and how old they are.
Yeah, we can provide that.
We are current on payables, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Cox, Ms. Shoemaker. Ms. Poulos.
Can you explain to me, you were saying that San Jose Edison would eventually end up with a zero there because all of the money is being passed through. Why do we show any money of theirs on our books then? Because
right.
aren't they borrowing money right now?
Again, we had this conversation, and they were projected in with $300,000, and I think they actually ended with about $60-some thousand. Maybe not all of the revenue has come in yet.
$64,000 is basically the fund balance. So we basically pass to San Jose all the cash that we receive for 11-12. We still have not received that $64,000 cash of that fund balance. So that money is still in our books in fund money.
So when we receive the cash, then we will
eventually pass it.
Right.
So how much of this overall that we're looking here is money we have, is money that we haven't received yet? Because I was looking at this as money that we had on the books now. Mm-hmm. But if that 64, what is it?
This is as of June 30th. Yes.
Uh-huh. Isn't here yet, but you're reporting it as here.
Uh-huh.
How much of this money that we're looking at for West Covina Unified uh-huh. isn't here yet?
Of all the funds?
Yes.
Okay. We talked about this. I have my notes.
Isn't it the $22 million?
Well, there's $11 million that is deferred. It was deferred from last year to this year that we'll start receiving. We'll see some in July, some in August, some in September. That's just happening. We book it as revenue in the year, but set up as a receivable. And
so isn't that what I was asking for? Won't that be part of that?
That would be part of it, is what are our receivables? And so there is a difference between, and that's one of the things when we look at cash flow. It's one thing to say you have $20 million ending fund balance. You might actually only have $8 million cash. one of the things that we'll be looking at as we report out in June. June will be a rather difficult month for us. We'll show an ending balance, say, of $13 or $14 million, but our cash could actually get down to $1 or $2 million because we're owed $11 million that we're not going to get until 2 or 3 months later. That's one of the problems with cash flow these days. So I will provide the receivables.
So in reality, when we're looking at our ending unaudited actuals, where it says we have $70.1 million, we do have that booked, but cash on hand we only have $59 million.
Are you looking at
some plus million?
68% of that.
You said 68% of that. So of the revenue that came in, about 68% of it came in.
$9 million in payables. You know, we couldn't pay the $9 million in payables with the $7 million that we had in cash. We rely on our receivables to go on. We don't have cash that covers the $20 million in any fund balance.
Not in any fund balance. And there are times, and we haven't got there yet, where you can interfund borrow from other funds, and that's where Fund 40 comes in. That's where Fund 25 comes in. To help out during those times.
But we did a cash flow analysis for this year. We're okay. We have enough cash.
We do a cash flow. Manoj is doing cash flow analysis almost weekly to make sure the cash comes in to make the payrolls.
To the board at the end of last year.
Cash flow analysis. Right.
For 2 years.
And it's part of the budget. It's part of the interim reports. We need to show a cash flow analysis to make sure that we don't run out of cash.
And I believe we also brought to the board that we could borrow, interfund borrow, if we had to, so that's already been in place if that, that happened. That we brought that to you guys last June, I believe. Mm-hmm.
The other question I had wasn't on any of your slides, but it was in your unaudited actual that you sent home. Uh-huh. And it might be because San Jose Edison is now independent. We don't have anything in the 2012-13 budgeted area for them. Is that because they're...
It's because they're independent and they have their own budget. Where before, and I think if you looked at the unaudited actuals, there were some expenditures in there. That's because for the first couple months we did have some expenses that we paid. But for 12-13, there will not be any expenditures in there. It'll just be all revenue and then the pass-through that we pass through, the transfer out.
And so when will we have, I know we don't approve their budget, but when will we see their budget then? Because I used to kind of be able to look and see the budget as a whole, including San Jose's. But now that's not available here.
Right. One of the things is Manoj works very closely with the charter school, and we see their budget. We make sure their budget is solid. We pass that along to the county. We have their budget available. If you would like, we can make that available to all the board members. It is available for review.
And would that reflect the loans they took out?
Is that in? Loans and interest, yeah.
We have a sheet that we built with San Jose in terms of a full year, what our oversight is and what they need to provide for us and when they need to provide it. So they work very closely with Manoj to make sure that we get that reporting, and with Ellie in terms of the reporting, I can send you a copy of, it's kind of our cheat sheet to know what to expect when, so that if there's ever anything that you'd like to review, you would have a copy of that. So we can send that along with the budget at the end of the week.
Right. Thank you. I don't believe I had any other questions at this time.
Yeah, I had a couple questions. One is on the retiree benefit. fund that we have part of it in our general fund, the point, the fund one, is I thought we had a system where the interest from that fund was going back into that fund, generated by the money we put aside. I mean, that's one of the reasons we did actuarial studies to see how much we had to put aside. I mean, am I wrong on that?
I'm sure the money in Fund 67, is it in an irrevocable trust? Okay, Fund 67 is
it? Interest then generates into that particular irrevocable trust, correct? Mm-hmm. But not the 1.2.
That's all in the general fund, the 1.4.
So that interest does not go into that?
That interest does.
So are we underfunding our retirement benefits? I mean, when was the last time? It was, what, 2-3 years we had an actuarial study, right? I mean, our retirement benefits, we have the one with lifetime and one that's out there we got to figure out. And then there's, you know, we pay for
current retirees.
Current retires until they go on Medicare.
Right, it's part of your paying.
That one we should be able to tell about what that's going to be.
That's the pay as you go, and
yeah,
we're doing that.
We know how old they are. And
mm-hmm. We had an actuarial study this March, actually.
Okay, can we get a copy of that?
Yeah.
Great. And then what accounts for, in the SELPA, our allocation goes up 60% in our SELPA allocation that we get through the SELPA. What accounts for that kind of swing where we're going to get over twice as much money as we currently get from the allocation, according to our budget?
Mental health? Is that one?
Primarily the program takebacks. That's what the difference is between last year and this year.
Okay, because it was 60%. I'll find it right now. You can go to it.
But that money's going out to all the personnel we hired, but we were saving a little.
Mm-hmm.
No, but our revenues go up, right? Our revenue goes up 60%.
Right, because
right?
Right, the services that BACO used to provide,
mm-hmm.
they used to take that revenue. Now that we are providing the service, the revenue is passing through to us.
Yeah, but that was much higher than like any of the other districts that were listed there.
Because we are taking back more services than the other districts.
Well, I guess it's a good thing we didn't leave it then, I guess. Because, I mean, if we're going to get that kind of money back through the SOPA like that. Because, I mean, it goes from like $3 million something to $6 million something. And then the last question, the cafeteria fund. The actuals to the budgeted, there's an extra $1 million there, and is that just because suddenly we have to buy carrots or be healthy, or is that why is there the extra $1 million budgeted for that compared to what we did in our actuals? If our enrollment's kind of the same?
Right. Well, it comes down to cost of food and what we're charging the kids and what we're receiving back from free and reduced program. So it's a program that's making money.
Oh, I know it's making money.
Is what it's doing. And so it's something that we're looking at. We're looking at.
Because the budget's five, but the budget went up about $1 million from our unaudited actuals.
Right. We estimated that they would end $3 million. They ended with an extra $1 million. And the budget, they're only about a $4 million program a year is
right,
what they bring
when,
in.
But in the 2012 budget, it's $5 million something. It's like a 29% increase. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, like why there's that kind of increase in the budget for the cafeteria fund. I understand, believe me, I understand it's a moneymaker. I mean, it always is. It's been a moneymaker ever since I've been on the board. I don't want to use the word profit. But, but when you look at the, here it is. It's fund 13, right?
Correct.
Fund 13. Where did it see? Yeah, on the total expenditures, on page 6 of form 13, you know, the unaudited actuals was $4.2 million. And our 2012-13 budget is $5.5 million.
Right. If you look, most of it is in books and supplies. So,
and books?
Well, not necessarily books, but in the 4410 supplies, ovens, freezers. She's going to be using.
Those are all capital.
Right. 44. Yeah. Object 4410 would be for things over $5,000. So it's not a books, but it's in that books and supplies category. It's in the 4000 object code. So she's budgeting to spend an extra $900,000 on equipment.
Both Okay, well, I guess I'm confused then, because the capital outlay, I mean, you did have the increase from 9,000 to 175,000.
Uh-huh.
Then I don't see where, you know, as far as the budget is on the capital outlay. So I guess I'm confused on where the other 800,000 comes from.
Well, we can bring back a, you know, a detailed analysis of that.
Okay, here on the other side.
When we present the first interim report, we can have that.
Fuels and supplies, 200. The non-capitalized equipment. So that's straight out stuff. It's not stuff that we get to capitalize. That's 600. Okay. That's it.
Uh-huh.
And so we don't write off, like, we just buy them straight out, like ovens and stuff like that, or what is that? I mean, we just bought a refrigerator, didn't we? Didn't we just
freezer.
Do some freezer thing?
She is purchasing freezers, ovens with new requirements that have come out with the.
It's a lot of ovens.
Food, sir.
That's a lot of ovens. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We can bring back a detailed, sure.
Okay. I was just curious because it's something. Uh-huh.
Is that because of the change in the cafeteria requirements, the food requirements that they need more of?
She has had some changes in the food requirements that have required her to have some different equipment.
So we're not replacing our deep fryers. Okay. Okay, those are my questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
That was an excellent presentation. We appreciate the information. Okay.
Should I just stay standing or go sit down? Or?
And item number 26, budget revision. I have a feeling you're staying.
I think I'm
staying. Yep.
Questions?
Why are we putting that down?
No.
Do we need that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Right.
Let's see if we have questions and everything.
Okay, I'm sorry. We have a vote on the floor. Okay. To approve the 2011-2012 unaudited actual financials report as presented, who will move it? Thank you, Mr. Cox. Who will second it?
I will.
Okay, Ms. Poulos. It was moved by Mr. Cox, seconded by Ms. Poulos. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? 5-0. Okay. Budget revision, item number 26. Dr. Coughlin.
As presented in the unaudited actuals, we did have an increase in the ending balance. And we had carryover, so one of the things we have to do now is come back and revise the budget that was approved last June. So this is budget revision number one, and should be coming up on the screen shortly. You should have received, there was a draft that you received, and then we, in your spot, we left you a packet. I added, there were two slides that were added. In this packet, so you don't want the one that says draft. You want the one that's just plain on the front. It's still warming up. I can sing. What are we doing? Here we go. Okay, budget revision number one. Again, want to thank staff for working on this. We will constantly be looking at the budget throughout the year. My goal and our goal is to make sure that as the year goes on, as we get closer to the end of the year, we get much closer to the ending balance. So we don't come up at the end of the year and say, wow, we had $2.4 million that we didn't know we had in June. And so we have some.
Better than the other way.
It is better than the other way. We have some things in place that we will implement to really do analysis of the budget as we go throughout the year. You know, you plan a budget. You don't know what your expenses are going to be. You plan for the worst. But as the year goes on, your risk, you know if you're going to need to buy that new roof, if those expenses are going to actually materialize. So as the year goes on, you can make adjustments to that. So when we get to the end, should be closer to the actual balance. So the background, the budget's adjusted throughout the year to reflect increases and or decreases in our revenue from the adopted budget. And the purpose of this is to provide information related to the budget increases and decreases since this was adopted on June 26, 2012. When the board adopted the budget in June, the revenue was expected to be $72.6 million. We're revising that, and we're saying that the revenue is projected to be at $72.9. That's an increase of $300,000, mostly in federal funds. When we break that out, I broke it out unrestricted and restricted. It's almost all restricted funds. In the federal, it was an increase in federal revenue related to IASA, the Title I basic grant, and there was a slight increase in other state revenue related to special ed. As the year goes on, our revenue will change, and as those change, we'll come back to the board and update you on those, whether it's an increase in MA revenue or mandated cost. We'll keep you updated on those. On the expenditures, you're going to see quite an increase here, and so we'll spend some time on this. 12-13 adopted budget last June. Expenditures were estimated at $76.8 million. Because of the carryover that I talked about, we need to revise the budget. It's $79.2 million. That's that carryover, the extra $2.4 million that was there. Much of it is carryover from school sites. We had to, in this budget revision, at the time the budget was adopted, there was no money budgeted for deferred maintenance. And so that has been budgeted in here at a cost of about over $600,000. So you'll see an increase in expenditures of $2.4 million. Some of the reasons for these changes, we have actually decreased some salaries when we reconciled position control. We shifted some Title I money over to the general fund, which increased the unrestricted expenditures by $41,000. Some employee benefits decreased due to the reconciliation. We had carryover from the prior years and unrestricted lottery, school and library improvement block grants, gifts, and MA resources of $781,000. That is going to be now budgeted in for 12-13. Increase in services and other operating expenses primarily related to deferred maintenance, roofing, and paving at various sites. That money is to be budgeted in for 12-13. We had a decrease in the direct support indirect costs primarily related to carryovers in Title I. And a decrease in the contribution for 12-13 of $202,000. So overall, unrestricted expenditures increasing $1.2 million. Restricted expenditures also increasing. These are carryover, mostly carryover from the previous year. Increase in certificated salaries related to the addition of special education adapted PE teachers and speech-language pathologist, $123,000. Decrease in classified salaries related to the elimination of special education autism services. Decrease in employee benefits related to personnel changes, $16,000. Increase in books and supplies related to carryover in Title I. And a decrease in services and operating expenses related to special ed for an overall total restricted expenditure change of $1.2 million. When we look at the ending balance, at adopted budget, we said we were going to end with $13.7 million. We're now projecting $14 million, or a change of $300,000. And the components of that $13.9 or $14 million are here listed. You'll see the state budget reserve. When we adopted the budget, we had $1.8 million in state budget reserve. We're now up that to $2.6 million. Keep in mind that if the election fails, we're looking at a $4.1 million hit to our revenue. That's where that money would come from, or a good portion of it. Deferred maintenance was lessened, $1.4 million of that ending balance, because we also put it into the expenditures up top, as I call it. So overall, ending fund balance increased by $300,000. So with that, are there any questions regarding the budget revisions?
I'll move approval.
I'll second.
Okay.
Well, you were shaking your hand. Yeah, did you, about 2 or 3 hours we worked on them.
Last time it took 6 hours.
Yeah, and is it now to a point where it can be imported and created now, or is it 6 hours every time?
No.
I would say estimated about 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah, I find this to be particularly helpful.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to do it. It was going to take you all day to do, or something like that.
We also find it helpful on our end for doing analysis too.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay, item number 27, election ballot propositions. I believe this is another presentation regarding Dr. Cochran.
Just as an overview, our president asked that we put these propositions on this agenda and felt that we wanted to give a comparison of the two. I don't know if you feel you need that, but we wanted to have the opportunity to share it. So in terms of the difference between Proposition 30 and Proposition 38, to give you the information you would need.
No, go ahead. I think I know where I'm going to vote on it, but I'll look at that anyway. I think I know where I'm at on it. So.
Well, that's my question. So would you like Mr. Copeland to go through this, or do you think you're ready to have the conversation? Up to you.
Presentation, or?
You're fine with just voting?
I mean, if we want to vote on this, I mean, I'm willing to move both of them so I can vote on them.
Yeah.
If someone wants a second vote.
What are we voting on?
Those two resolutions here. Did CSBA do these?
No,
or
it says and possibly
who did these? CSBA
doing? Mr. Copeland worked on them from...
Did he do it?
Right. Did CSBA work on the resolution?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, where did you get the letter
from? From another district.
Another district?
Yes.
Because it doesn't mention that according to the NEA, we have the highest teacher pay, but okay.
Yeah.
So it's not a CSBA thing.
If you look on the end, it shows you who endorses which each one.
On that slide, yeah.
I think he was asking who did the
resolutions. Oh, no, it wasn't CSB.
These resolutions.
Going back.
He did.
We
wasn't CSBA.
No, we tried there. We looked.
They copied it.
No, we looked at some other districts and their resolutions and came up.
Both of them, so we can
okay.
Get to that point. So almost a second.
Who would second it?
I will.
Okay. So it has been moved by Mr. Mike Spence, seconded by Mr. Shoemaker. And we'll go ahead and move them individually. Prop 30, the governor's initiative. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed?
No.
Opposed?
No.
Okay.
Just do it on hold.
Thank you.
Nice job.
You still got that $4 million in there somewhere, don't you?
You got $9 million in facilities.
As long as you got $4 million and then cover this, what we did tonight, then that's okay. We're relying on you.
Okay. Any Board of Education discussion? Thank you, staff. You did lots of reports. Just thank you very much.
I just have one thing.
Yes, sir.
Which is, you know, when you look at our money from developer fees and the bond, I mean, we're still $9 million to spend on facilities, so. At some point, we need to figure out what
well,
we're going to do with that.
One of the things we're doing right now, and any input that you can help us with, is we're really trying to go back and review what the bond was. We have $6 million there, and we'd like to be able to come with some recommendations to the board, but we're really, right now, since we weren't here when it was first voted on, that we want to make sure that any recommendations we bring to you is within the scope of the bond. So that's one of the things, especially with technology and the things that we might need, we would like to come with some recommendations, and maybe we could add that to the agenda when we talk about budget to get some to talk about that as well. When we
there
have
is nothing
meeting.
Better than cutting positions and building
can
new
we,
things.
Can we remodel this boardroom?
This room?
It's time.
We can use some more lights and the wrought iron fencing.
Let me know what
there
we're going to do at Del Norte.
To dovetail on what Ms. Kaplan was saying, when I went over to California and they were doing the presentation, there was a bunch of light filtering into the classroom. And the teacher had indicated that it's a daily problem. And now that they're using more technology, as Ms. Kaplan was saying, there's a technology, it's interfering with students' ability to learn and see the screen. So that is a potential that we could talk about. We may have to fund shades, maybe, and that might be something to come out of there, because that technology didn't exist when the buildings were redone.
I don't think we can do that with the bond money.
Well, that's what we're looking into.
I know, but bond money, I don't think.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we're investigating now before we make any recommendations. We want to really understand what that money was intended for. So it's something we want to discuss this year. We're just not prepared at this point to do it.
Okay, so we have... We have Orangewood Back to School Night on the 13th, along with Walnut Grove. The two of them are together. I believe Orangewood is starting at 5:30 and Walnut Grove at 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
On the 18th, we have West Covina High School Back to School Night at 6. September 19th, Coronado Back to School Night at 6. September 20th, Edgewood Middle School Back to School Night at 6. And then our next Board of Education.
And those are the times for classrooms, so if you want to go to the PTA meetings, go earlier.
Yes. Okay.
And if you need parking spaces reserved, please let me know.
Okay. I need parking spaces reserved.
Okay.
I won't be there at all. Okay, I will call this meeting adjourned at 10:02 p.m.
Thank you.
Thank you.